21st century global economy.
Behind every dollar traded,
your currency is weaker.
Just to give you a sense of perspective.
It's Monday, and we generally look at the agenda for the week, but there's so much going on in China this week. China is dominating the news that we wanted to take a close look at not just these very high-level meeting going on with more than 200 administration officials from the White House, but the North Korea situation and the other things involving Beijing that could have some far-reaching effects. Joining us today, Marcus Mabry. He's the associate national editor for our partner, the New York Times. So, Marcus, we're saying China when we look at the week ahead. When you look at it, what do you say?
Very related to China, I think hegemony.
Hegemony, that's an interesting question about whose hegemony are you talking about? Charlie Herman is also with us. Charles Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and for our flagship station, WNYC. Charlie, what do you see?
I see the word stalemate when it comes to U.S.-China relationships and these meetings that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So, Charlie, in terms of, I assume you're talking about the trade and economic talks and trying to convince China to reconsider their currency valuation system. So you think that's going to end up in a stalemate, maybe?
Well, with so many officials there from the Obama administration and in such a short period of time, the thought that they could actually really get something concrete done, some analysts are saying that they really think that would be unlikely. I mean, there are two significant issues that are on the table here. One is this issue about currency and whether or not China will revalue the currency. The other is about improving the business environment in China.
So we can do more exports there.
Exactly. And it's not just exports. It's intellectual property protection. It's access to in the Chinese market to U.S. goods. And there was a recent rule that was put through that had a lot of U.S. companies worried that China may be preferring those sorts of technologies that are created in China and not overseas. So really a worry that could U.S. companies be kept out of certain business programs in China?
Obviously, the big question here is this valuation of the yuan. This is something they've been working on for a very long time, and this seems almost like the culmination of a long system of diplomatic talks. But you don't see any action soon?
Well, I mean, you heard this morning from the president, Hu Jintao, talking about his repeated pledge to continue to reform the currency.
Right.
He said that China would push forward with reform, but the language is very similar to what we've heard before. And if you look at what's going on in Europe, where the euro has fallen dramatically compared to the dollar, and the Chinese currency is very much tied to the dollar.
It's soft pegged to the dollar, in fact. The Chinese don't have to even do anything because it's rising in value with the dollar.
But it's rising in value with the dollar, and with Europe being China's largest export market, the worry is that Chinese products will be more expensive already in Europe, so they may not be in a hurry to really revalue the currency, which could lead to it going even higher. I mean, the accusation against China is that they're manipulating the currency in order to keep their products more
low
affordable
price,
to the rest of the world.
Okay, so Marcus, you said that you see hegemony in the week ahead, and I'm wondering if you're talking about you're talking about the U.S. hegemony or Chinese.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly the question. For a while there, hegemony, of course, meaning dominant.
Right.
And in the international relations sense, we're talking about which country has its ability to exact its influence and authority over other nations and other players on the global stage. And there has been a tussle, an arm wrestle happening between the United States and China now for some time. The reason this strategic economic and diplomatic dialogue exists is a regular feature of the United States-Chinese diplomatic relationship now is because there's an understanding that relationship is at the center of so much that happens on the global stage, whether it's economics, as we've been talking about, our politics, our diplomacy, whether it's curtailing Iran's nuclear ambitions or punishing North Korea for, as South Korea says and the U.S. agrees, sinking its naval vessel just 2 months ago.
Well, that's a good question. In the Korean Peninsula, they seem to be also having an argument over who has hegemony over the Korean Peninsula, right?
That's exactly true. And of course, that's been that way for a long time.
Right.
It moves through different phases, the Korean Peninsula relationship, the relationship on the peninsula between the Koreas and their partners, the U.S. and China, as well as the U.S. and China's relationship on the global stage more broadly. That you move through these periods of each country trying to assert its influence, and then other periods of cooperation taking more of the center stage. China has been very clear that it sees its interest economically, politically, as its primary priority on the global stage. The U.S. has been trying to convince China that if it's going to be a major player, as it already is economically on the world stage, now being the third largest economy in the world, quickly on its way to becoming the second largest economy in the world after the U.S. and before Japan, the U.S. has been trying to convince Beijing that if it's going to have that kind of economic weight, it has to have a diplomatic responsibility, even a moral and ethical responsibility, to behave as a great power on the world stage. China's point of view has been that those are your values. Those are not our values.
So, Charlie, you heard Marcus talking about the kind of standoff over who has hegemony. Do you think that's one of the things that's leading to the stalemate in terms of economic policies, that neither country is ready to cede that the other one has dominance?
I think one of the things we have to consider when we're talking about what the U.S. wants with China is what does China want from the U.S. and from the rest of the world? And when you talk with analysts, the things that they point out is that China itself may be wanting to turn away from the West in some aspects because they don't want to be so dependent on the U.S. and on Europe for exports, especially when you look what's happening with the euro, with increased pressure from the U.S. to open up more, that they may be looking to turn more inward and to try and develop their own domestic economy to get people in China spending more and also to diversify their own industries to try and grow their own country. So this may be a situation here where for China, things have been going very well in that country. Growth has been very strong. And as long as growth is strong, the country continues to do well and to become a major player in the world.
Well, it's exactly like the U.S. after World War I. They could rely on their economy. They didn't have to pay attention to Europe. China can do the same thing in East Asia.
Exactly.
Marcus, I got to ask you, with the revaluation of the yuan, with export and trade policy on the table, not just this going on with Korea, but also the question of sanctions in Iran, what do you think we're going to make progress on anything, or will we, as Charlie suggests, reach a stalemate? Did we lose Marcus? We lost Marcus. And I think that's really the question, is whether or not they're actually going to accomplish any of these things that they're going there to do, but they're certainly investing.
I think it's just tough to do that in 2 days.
Yeah, but there's almost 200 people. Right? Doesn't 200 people make it more likely?
Yeah, too many cooks, I think.
Marcus Mavrie, New York Times Associate National Editor, and Charlie Herman, WNYC and Takeaways Economics Editor. And we want to open this up to you. What do you think is the word for the week ahead? Send us a text. You can text the word TAKE to 69866. Follow the instructions from there. You could be charged by your carrier. But when you look at the week ahead, what do you see? What is your theme for the week?